Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong After Dark. I'm your host, Jacqueline Coley, alongside Mr. Mark Ellis. And joining us yet again, we teased it on our last episode, Matt Nost, in case you couldn't tell, is joining us again. He is a comedian, the host of Settle the Score. And for our After Dark episode, we just kind of go what's on our minds. And I was so happy in our last episode to discover that you're also watching The Last of Us, because I have been just dying to talk about this show. I'm sorry. Neil and Craig, if you're listening, I love this show so much. I love you. It's amazing. I'm sorry.
I apologize. I just did clothes at home, and this was on the top of the hamper. So driving down today, I didn't even think about it. I just grabbed it right off the top of the fresh.
Okay.
I haven't folded yet.
It happens on this episode to us more.
It looks fresh.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah. Just like you did last
Thank
week.
Thank you. Yeah.
The beard's a little grayer than last time you were on the show.
Damn! It's probably true, though. That's the worst part. It's probably true.
I know when I interrogate people about Rocky IV, they tend to age quicker than they normally should. Which is sort of the same thing that's going to... You want to talk about getting gray whiskers. If you are living in a land like The Last of Us and the events of that, the last 20 years... Oh, boy, you are aging. Nobody is George Clooney in that world anymore.
No. Well, no. Gabriel Luna, who's in the very last episode, he's actually in his 40s. He's from Austin. Like, I've seen him in, like, he was in the Dust Until Dawn series.
Good-looking guy.
Yeah. But he's our age.
Yeah.
He just looks like he's 35.
Well, it's funny when you bring up The Last of Us, because right before we went to air, you know, like, I was asking Matt about it, and everybody has that same gut reaction where they're like, I just needed something that wasn't Walking Dead. Because Walking Dead was great. When it was good, it was great.
Sure.
But it was just so many seasons and so many characters and twists and turns that you're like, I just want all that good stuff just compacted into something else. And it feels like The Last of Us is really sort of
I never
hit
bought
that quota.
Into the fear in The Walking Dead eventually. I was just like, you can tell whenever someone's going to get killed off. So you don't buy into... Mm. And I like Last of Us is kind of settling on this almost vignettes at times where we're just, okay, we're going to go off here. That Nick Offerman and the, is he Australian?
Murray. I think he's either New Zealand or Australian, yeah.
That was a beautiful departure to tell an interesting story of what, I like this. The main criticism I'm seeing is there's not enough zombies.
Mm.
You're like, okay. Shouldn't we be focusing on the aftermath of what the people are going through?
Yeah.
So to do these offshoot stories, I think is fantastic. And it gives a much fuller representation of what everyone is going through. And now that we've established like this camp in Wyoming, I'd be fine with, here's Joel and that story going this way. You know, we're going to spend an episode going back to that camp and seeing the day-to-day life there and what they have to go through with dealing with the dam or whatever it is, because that's interesting. In this post-apocalyptic world, we're all leading different lives dealing with the same cataclysmic event as opposed to just the same patterns over and over again.
Well, I think that's what some of the offshoot Walking Dead shows were like, let's do that. And they were interesting from what I saw. Like Fear the Walking Dead, those first couple episodes, they took place somewhere in Southern California. It might have been like actually Los Angeles. And I was like, this is good stuff because you get it from a different perspective. And it's not just the same families that are making the same dumb mistakes and they just got to get to Virginia. Like, I'm from Virginia. What exactly are you going to do in Virginia? I don't know. I didn't finish The Walking Dead. But I just like I like the beginning of stuff. I like a superhero origin story. I like what happens the first day of the zombie apocalypse. Yeah. What are you going to do? Where are you going to hole up? What are you going to grab for food? What are you going to do for protection, shelter, all that stuff? Mm-hmm. And so The Last of Us still manages to do a great job of that, even though the events that we're looking at now, week to week, are some 20 years we've been in this situation, but now we finally have some hope digging ourselves out. So it still feels like it. Now it's fresh, but there's actually potential in this world.
The best part about it for me is that it's 20 years pushed and everything still is 2003. And the attention to detail that the production designers and Craig did, mm-hmm. because it's like everything from like, you know, simple stuff you would figure, like George Bush being on the like, classroom, like obviously it was 2003, it was in the middle of the Bush presidency, but things as far as like, no, this was the cop car, the style of cop car that they used in Kansas City in 2003. This was what the label of that cornflakes and that tampon looked at that time in 2003. Mm-hmm. And so
everybody walking around like, man, if only Rudy Giuliani was here, he could have cleaned this
whole thing like
out.
Again, and our impressions of people from 15 years ago, 20 years ago are the impressions that we had. It was so funny listening to them, the reference movie that they were talking to, that was the reference movie of zombies. It wasn't Walking Dead for them. It was 28 Days Later, because that was the zombie movie of that time frame. And so if there was a zombie apocalypse, they wouldn't all be saying, oh, this is like The Walking Dead. No, they were going to be saying like, this is 28 Days
and
Later.
What a kick in the nuts for Red Sox fans, because
they never got, and Cubs fans.
And Cubs fans too, but the Red Sox in particular, because they just had the Aaron Boone game. They just had the series where they should have beat the Yanks in 2003, and they lost, and now you go from that to the zombie apocalypse. Listen, right before the year that you did go on to win your first World Series since 1918.
They've had it so good for so long that I don't care that in this world,
in this current timeline, they're fine. Yeah.
Tom Brady is not the GOAT in this timeline. No. He's won a couple Super Bowls, but he's not the GOAT.
Precisely. The Celtics haven't had their resurgence. It's fine. Boston isn't good in this time. It's fine. They've been crushing it for the past 20 years.
Brett Favre was still an upstanding guy. I mean, this is a different time. This is a different time. We were still watching The Apprentice unironically, kids.
what's the thing that's going to happen? Like this event happens and then nobody knows if Ross and Rachel got together or not.
Yeah, that is true. There was no end of Friends. The thing I was going to ask you, did you play the game? The Last of Us.
It's the only game in like recent history that I started it and I put it down.
Oh, really? What was it about the game you didn't like?
20 minutes in, I'm still going through tutorials.
Oh, I see.
Where you're like slowly walking with an NPC to go and talk to this person. I was like, I have PlayStation Plus. I can just download something else. It's the first game I've ever given up on.
Are you a big gamer?
I mean, I play at night. I'm playing like the Ghost of Tsushima right now.
Okay.
It's not bad. That counts. I mean,
it's not bad.
That counts.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, I play for like half hour before bed.
You mean after you do your homework?
Yep.
Mom said it was okay. Oh my God.
I get my hot chocolate.
I play at night.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
school.
Some guys you talk to and be like, oh, I've been playing for 10 hours today.
No,
like,
I can feel the, like,
do something.
Yeah, like, you're like, I don't want to, like, escape my life and responsibilities to be a gamer. Yeah.
Watching TV or something.
I get that.
I'll play a video game for an hour.
Yeah, I tell them to go do something, too. You know what they tell us? They're like, we have millions of dollars, and we just bought a house because we Twitch.
Really?
For a select group, sure. Not everybody is Ninja.
Who does that?
Not everybody, but there's a lot of, you can make a crap, or you can be like a professional video game player.
Yes,
like
esports. Yeah.
They're like 19-year-old kids just like on their third mansion.
I mean, there's also like beauty influencers that are doing that, but I don't want to set up a mirror in my house.
It's 1 in 100,000 or 1 in 200,000 that are actually making a living.
Matt looks very happy playing his nightly video games.
I enjoy it very much so.
And I have never played The Last of Us. I haven't really played a game since Halo that's new. Like, I still play Wii Golf sometimes.
See, I play old games too, but they're definitely like my PC games. Like, every now and again, I'll get a like fire into me to play Undertale again, and I'll play like...
Myst?
Undertale? What is Undertale?
So these are all like POC games. Like, these are the things for like, so Undertale was like a text game. So it's like the Telltale games. I would play those. The Fables, I would play those. So these are all like PC games. So they're all part of that like PC YouTube world. So like, if you play things like Five Nights at Freddy's and those kinds of ones, Papers, Please, like a lot of the live stream players played all of these, like, they were only played on your computer for the most part.
Sure.
And Last of Us was actually one of them. And that was actually how I came across the game, was it was a game where you would watch people playing the game and you would enjoy watching it.
I've been told by so many people, my brother, who's never finished a game in his life, is like, Last of Us is the only one I've ever finished.
Yes. And it is a game that you want to finish. It's a game that makes you finish it. There's other ones like that, too, that are much more difficult, that are also still very cinematic, like Dark Souls or Skyrim's like that, you know.
Sure.
That's sort of the thing. And I jumped off playing video games for many different reasons, but none of which are good or bad. It's just like I just got bored of them. But the concept of watching somebody else play through a video game is so foreign and weird to me.
Really?
It was torture when you were a kid. Yeah. It's like you're sitting there like, and I'd be playing video games with my brother, and like I just want my brother's character to die so I can play.
Oh, see, I would enjoy watching. Again, also different as a girl, the chances that you would be able to play your way onto playing it is a lot harder. So my like video game appreciation started as a passenger.
Sure.
More than it did as an active participant. Also being the youngest kids will also have this similar experience. But no, I don't mind watching it because it feels like playing with your friends. Because I definitely had that aspect where you're at your friend's house. And you all are playing, you know, until you die on Sonic, and it's just get as far as you can go.
Yeah, we would do that, pass the controller around.
But I think it's different when it's your sibling. Your sibling, you're in competition. Your friends are in your collaboration. Fair.
But they're also so cinematic in the way they look now, too. Like there's you can just like watch cutscenes of something like Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic, and it's like this is a great movie.
We should
make this movie.
Till Dawn. Peter Starmore like did the voice in that one. I think it's like there's a lot of these have like legit voice actors.
Yeah, and the cinematic scope of it, the worlds that they're creating are just incredible. With the Unreal Engine and all that jazz, they can just sculpt these amazing, visually stunning worlds that sometimes are, you know, hyper-realistic and other times are just fantastical, but it's beautiful nonetheless.
And the horror-based games are legit scary. They will scare the crap out of you, including some stuff in The Last of Us.
Yeah, The Last of Us has some jump scares. I would say this, we're in episode six just premiered. How far have you watched? All the way through? You caught up?
Okay. Yeah.
So what I will say this before we can maybe move on to other subjects, because there are other things going around. I mean, we are in the midst of Oscar season as the Oscar and awards person gets more apathetic about it as I say it. But what's been your favorite moment of the series? Because I feel there's been, obviously, everyone talks about episode 3, but this has been like really great, like individual moments, mm-hmm. like where this show sets itself apart. Like just the overlay of like Craig and Neil talked about they wanted to remove violence from it because they wanted to really center in on the conceit of the game, which, spoiler alert, is we will do some crazy and extreme things for love, and that's not always a good thing.
So one of my favorite moments is maybe some recency bias, but I've always been a huge fan of the actor Graham Greene. He's just great in everything. Mm. And when he shows up for a second and he's just, it's this nice couple and they live very remotely and our team has happened upon them. You know, Pedro and I can't remember her name. So I guess I'll call her Grogu of this show. So it's basically the Mandalorian,
it is.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
it
just
is.
Like, I now I found
her
something.
Name is, her name is Ellie. But
Ellie,
cool.
right. And so I'm not great with names.
It's okay. I got these names. I'm not great with them either, but I've played these people long enough that I actually know their names.
But they just like find this like little cabin. They're like, all right, well, we got to go see if we can trust the people. And like, they just have such a great, this old married, they just have such a great relationship. They're laughing. Yeah. They're like, it doesn't, if we die, who cares?
I mean,
what are you going to shoot me?
My favorite is like, did you tell him the truth? Yeah. Are you telling me the truth? Yeah. And even what was even better is what folks don't notice, because I went back and rewatched it again, because again, I'm obsessed. When she comes in, she gives him a look. He knows before he turns around that there's somebody there, which I think that's like a great, like, again, this was such a fan fiction dream for me, because I will go ahead and say my favorite moment was, first of all, that couple. That's the dynamic I want and the space I want, but I want the life that they're living in Wyoming, which essentially, like, that is the real life that I want to live, is the two married couple.
Graham Greene just killed 5 fresh rabbits for you.
Yes,
And you think you can do better than that?
I do, because I want to then have the house next door with my friend Courtney, who's like a master sewer, and then I want to have it on the left, my other friend, and it's just going to be like the 5 of us.
You love this
living
little...
in remote... Like when she
Old
says
West
we're
Town.
Communists, I'm like, sell it, sis. The revolution for the people. We own everything. I was literally just like, oh, it felt like propaganda videos. That's how quickly I was like, sign me up. Because as I've said, healthcare and peace, I will join a cult. I know I will. I know it's in me. I know it's in me.
It's so interesting that on this episode,
it's in me.
We have going to be used as evidence at some point. Just
I don't.
So you know.
I don't care. They know. They know.
But we have Matt Nost returning again. Who last week we were talking about propaganda the other way with Rocky IV.
The collectivism. That's what she was watching. Going, don't you dare stand up and applaud.
No,
we're going. We're going to Russia on Christmas Day to defend capitalism, and now it's all. All gone.
No, absolutely. Because let me be real. In the Rocky movie, the absurdity of that camp is real. What I want to do in my daily life is pick beans and have peace.
Just simplicity.
And there's just not a lot of places to do that in our current setup. So let me go find it elsewhere. We're going to sage. Sure. We'll put sage out there. We're going to have a blast. Nobody's going to be hurt.
All right, Kyrie.
Nobody. Stop.
Walking around. Just what I'm saying.
Wow.
The sage. The
all
sage
in the
is
court.
When
By
he was
way,
walking around Barclays
hate,
burning sage.
I hate that was my favorite. Man took that
now
like thing. That is like literally what black women do when somebody they dislike comes into their home.
Like the house, like, she likes the smell.
I hate that that's been co-opted by.
But no,
that
just
fool.
To watch him like trying to ward off spirits. And
he's
like,
not
wow.
trying to ward off spirits. He's trying to troll the media.
No,
I'm
he's
actually,
trying to get attention. That's
exactly,
all he wants.
Exactly.
Attention. And then it'll be like, what? Why are we talking about me? Anyway, let me just do something that's crazy. That makes you guys talk about
exactly. So no, I'm doing it for like literal peace, and like I like the smell of sage, and I like to grow things in the ground. Like that's it.
Yeah, but if you're coming to a community like Jacqueline's new home, and if me and Ellie are just wandering, we've been growing across country, and I'm trying to get Ellie to safety. I don't trust you. I don't trust anybody in that, even including my own brother, because I'm like. So much could have gone down. So it's been years since I saw you. So I love the amount of distrust that is currently going on. The only insular sort of community that you can really rely on is two people.
Yeah.
And that's Pedro, and his character's name is
Ellie.
Joel and Ellie. Yeah. And they
so
really
good at
are.
Names. That's striking that you can't remember.
It's so crazy that I can remember some random name in Star Wars, like Biston the Space
Not
Monkey.
Not even. If they watch the Rotten Tomato, the Rocky IV show, you're rattling off artists that I couldn't have pulled, and I know their music.
Robert Tepper's No Way Out.
I definitely got that one. What about you? What's a favorite moment for you thus far? I think you've talked.
You know what I love is Ellie trying to wrap her head around the world that used to exist in her current state.
It's fun. Yeah.
It's great with the first time she's in the truck and she's like, this is, so you guys used to drive places?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I guess. And then he's explaining football to her.
Yeah.
He's like, so if you get first down, so do you have four downs again? Be like, yeah, that was just the idea that the world around her is so completely distant.
And so
it's
small.
A foreign idea of what we take for granted currently. And I hope they continue doing that because it's nice comedic moments whenever they find it.
But it's also those kind of conversations, those little innocuous things that just kind of get you from point A to point B where it's like, oh, we have a lot of time to kill on this road trip.
Sure, yeah.
So occasionally we're going to be playing car bingo or whatever. But you also get to watch Joel very, very gradually thaw like a glacier at the end of an ice age and start to warm to this kid a little bit because he's still pretty crusty in this most recent episode that we saw where it's a month removed from the previous episode's events. So like it's taken him a long
Isn't
time.
Isn't it 3 months?
It's three months from the previous
three
event.
3 months.
Yeah.
3 months. And you're right. He is unthawing. You see it in like him talking about, you know, I wanted to be a singer, which first of all, sign me up to anything that Pedro Pascal wants to sing. To anyone.
This
Thank
guy
you.
Is, it, he's got to be.
Oh, can we talk about
in the running for people's sexiest man of the year, right?
Is that still a thing? Do they still do that?
They
do
definitely
they still do.
I mean,
thing?
As a heterosexual man watching this, you got to admit, he's not bad.
Oh, no. He's an attractive. I am more than happy.
Are you saying that the award was tainted when they gave it to Blake Shelton?
It was tainted. In fact, my friend Akilah.
Patch Kid Duck no. of his just walking in.
Listen.
It looks like a walking potato is what it is. It's just, it's amazing. He looks like a Minecraft character that's come to life. That head, the shape doesn't make sense.
2018, not the most competitive field that
like
men have ever put out.
It's float coming at you.
Sorry, I just wait. Did you see Akilah's tweet that day?
No.
So People Magazine tweets out, and my friend Akilah Hughes, who needs to come on the podcast now
she's
that I think of it, she
gem.
Should absolutely be out here.
Yeah.
She tweets out, People Magazine, Blake Shelton has been voted People Magazine's sexiest man alive. And she quote tweets it, did everybody die?
Yeah, exactly.
I do remember that.
And it was like so so viral. She was on like every morning show because every time somebody wanted to say something negative,
he's not
they
an
just
ugly man.
Up her tweet.
Yeah, he's not ugly, but he's like us handsome.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's like I can clean up okay if I have to.
We're like what LA six and a halfs, LA sevens at best.
Oh, that's a good question.
LA six. I will own
all
that.
Right, according
LA
to producer
six.
Brian, the more recent People Sexiest Man of the Year, just so we know the level that Pedro Pascal has to elevate with. To. It was Paul Rudd in 2021 and sure. Chris Evans in 2022. So
yes, sure.
That's more like Nost and I, we can pull off of Blake Shelton. We ain't aging like Rudd.
No.
And we ain't getting it done in the gym like Chris Evans is.
No.
I mean, is he even getting it done in the gym anymore? He seems to just be happy with his dog and his girl, you know?
They have a good time.
Yeah, it's just...
Did you see that video where they scare each other?
Yeah.
And it's adorable.
He is so, like, there was a time where people were, like, Lizzo had everyone thinking it was, like, Chris Jamal Evans because, like, there's, like, videos of him checking on, like, black girls and stuff. And
Have you seen this video?
Oh, no. And so, like, got this,
great
like...
video. Somebody, you know, on their phone or whatever from across the street saw Chris Evans maybe hitting on somebody talking, but it did appear he was like getting her number and he's so smooth doing it.
Yeah, like it was, and it was this black girl.
It's Chris saying he doesn't need an introduction. No, that's not like, fair. You can't compare that to us. That's
but
not,
I want to be clear. It was like this sister and there was like other girls around that he was maybe more of like demographically. And so it was the fact that he slided up to a black woman outside of a Philly nightclub.
Was on her.
Like, basically what I'm saying is ever though. Since that video, there's been this rumor, and then you see him with his girlfriend, I'm like, oh, you are so from Boston. Like,
yeah,
you, like
right,
this
right.
video gave you a legend and, like, a lore that's not real. But
well, that plus the Lizzo stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this is the kicker. But that's who he is, and it's adorable. Like, I love it. It's
Why
so
can't
cute.
I appreciate Chris Evans and how smooth he is?
Because he walked up and she went, are you fucking Captain America? And he went, yes, I am. And she's like, here's my number. And that's all he had to do. He didn't have to do anything.
I'm not saying I'm going to walk onto a football field and be Patrick Mahomes. I can still be inspired by
but
the way the man
Patrick
plays.
Mahomes walked in here and he's like, hey, do you want to be friends? You'd be like,
this is the kicker, though. Patrick Mahomes should pull like that. And I'm telling you, I don't know if people are checking on him like that.
No.
He's somebody you love for his kind eyes. I'm sorry, in my opinion.
Okay.
That's he has kind eyes.
I don't know what that means.
It means the rest of it ain't so great.
I'm just saying.
But the eyes.
I'm just
the
saying.
Windows to the soul
Travis
are present.
Travis Kelce? Now he can get it. He could get
sure,
it.
He's
Travis
a better looking
Kelce
man.
Could get it. But, and like he's, Patrick Mahomes, yeah. he's adorable. He's sweet and he's talented as hell.
Are kind eyes
he
the new interesting personality?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No,
all
right. No, he has kind eyes. He does. He looks like a kind man. And he puts up with what he puts up with. I assume he's kind.
He is such a nice guy.
You know,
that's what kind eyes mean.
No,
he is
no, no,
such a nice guy.
No. Such a nice guy is, oh, bless your heart. That is not that. Like, if I would have been like Patrick Mahomes, oh, bless your heart.
I'll take your word for it because I'm not going to make moves on Pat Mahomes, but it sounds like we're in the same ballpark here.
Travis Kelce can get it, though. I watched his videos leading up to the Super Bowl because I was not, again, you know me, I don't watch football right now. I'm waiting to find out whether I can watch it next year. No, because I'm a Packers fan. Like born and bred, and I can't
gross.
Watch. Exactly, I know.
I'm a Bears fan.
Oh.
I didn't realize I was sitting next to a Packer
yeah.
fan.
Yeah. Stop.
Oh man, I love that the Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
this is the best two seasons ever. I can't wait for next year.
By the way,
great.
Okay, you are a Bears fan, so like, I don't want to be this girl, but who holds the records in your stadium? Our two quarterbacks.
I'm
not bringing logic and facts into this. Okay,
a Packers
I'm enjoying your demise. And the fact that we might actually have a better quarterback.
By the way, this is like, I rooted for the Bears this past year. I've rooted for every single team that
you
we played against
what?
With fire.
In football
I hate
terms,
that kid.
You were kind of what we call a free agent.
Oh, man. I was like, burn it. Mm-hmm. Burn it.
Yeah, that team is so weird.
Anyway, so I was trying to get rid of him, but because I didn't watch any football this year, I was only watching the Super Bowl for Rihanna, and I was like doing the thing. Mm-hmm. But then I saw Travis Kelce, and girl, we went on a deep internet dive through that whole first quarter. I was like, oh, they're brothers? Wait, that's one brother? What is his girlfriend?
I have
like?
Some.
Oh, who is he dating now?
I have some close affiliations with
no,
Travis
you
Kelce.
Do not.
Yeah. I worked on
he
a couple
a
projects with him.
Actually, yeah. I think his rumored girlfriend is somebody that I know.
Rumored girlfriend. Do you want to have a rumored girl? Like, if you're super famous like that, do you want your personal life out there where it's like, you know...
Rumored is better than real.
Rumored is better than real.
Bad
Why?
Bunny is rumored with Kendall Jenner right now. And if that ever became real, he would lose half of his ticket sales.
Oh, you mean because it's just out there in the ether and you never really have to confirm on a rumor.
Or deny.
Yes. yes.
Right. Okay.
And not saying that, like, if Travis confirmed, he would lose half of his fan base.
No, that's a specific situation.
That's a specific situation. But there are some people that are only following for the fantasy. And if you spoil that, then they don't want to follow you. Like, a girl will tell you, like, influencers tell you that if they show their boyfriend on their Instagram for the first time, they lose followers.
Oh, yeah. It's such a, like, unfair kind of world where it's like, oh, I shared one modicum of my actual personal happiness that happens to involve this other person that I found sanctuary in.
But you've destroyed.
You've destroyed whatever weird fantasy everybody had.
And women do it too. Usually there's a reason. The women will find a reason they find to be justifiable. I actually feel bad. There was an actor recently who's a black actor on a very popular black show who showed his white girlfriend for the first time, and those bitches were vicious.
Not a good reaction.
They were so vicious. I was like, damn, son, like, this is his wife, like, mother of his
now
kid.
It's like a whole PR strategy you gotta go through.
It's like that. And so,
hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now I see why people have PR relationships. I actually don't even fault people for it anymore because the politics of who you date is so ridiculous.
Plus, if you do rudely, it's like that thing you do where they base it off the Beatles with a flash chyron of, sorry, girls, he's engaged and he got pissed off.
Oh, right.
Because it hurts what he's trying to project into the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, because John Lennon was married.
Yes, but didn't want that out there.
They put that on there on the prompter or whatever.
Ed Sullivan or something?
I don't know if it was Ed Sullivan. It might have been an Ed Sullivan. I think it's the same show where they were playing in England for the Queen, who was in the crowd.
And he wanted a shot at the Queen? I don't understand.
He probably could have had it.
Yeah.
But he has a very funny line because, like, before we do this next number, we'd like everybody in the cheap seats to clap along and everybody in the rich seats if you could just rattle your jewelry. And, like, you're not supposed to make jokes like that, but the Queen gave him the thumbs up. I can't remember if it was that performance or it was just one of the Ed Sullivans where there's words that flash up on the screen. The subtitle said, sorry, girls, he's married.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing to us right now?
You're ruining the mystique of...
I mean, that's, huge part of it. It depends. Sometimes the politics are the opposite. Sometimes it's better to look like you have somebody or whatever. And, again, I don't blame now celebrities when you find out that people are in these weird, like, couples of convenience to, like, help their career. I'm like, well, better than, like, being single.
My favorite all time was when Henry Cavill had the same publicist as that girl that was on 10 Things to Date My Daughter or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Kelly Cuoco.
Yeah.
I can't remember her last name.
Kellen
Cuoke
for dating.
Yeah, my teenage daughter.
And then it just became 10 things.
10 rules. 10 rules. Yeah.
But they dated for like a week and a half because they had the same publicist and they thought it'd be good for them. Maybe they get some press and be like, no way she's pulling Henry Cavill.
Wow.
Zero chance.
No, wow. I would push back on that.
You're deciding vote here.
You know what? I can see that. I think she could. Because I've seen weirder celebrity couples. Eric Andre is currently banging the girl from Blurred Lines. They're weirder couples.
Yeah, but funny people. I mean, not me, but funny people, I'm told. Pete Davidson, folks like that.
That doesn't.
The rumor for the comedian to like model pipeline, I feel, is over exaggerated by high watermarks.
Oh, all I want.
I like the choice of pipeline when we're talking about pee, by the way. But if that was a Freudian slip. But.
Producer Brian, it's 8 simple rules for dating my teenage daughter.
Well, there should be 10, Brian.
And then it became 10 things I hate about you. There's only 8 rules for dating the daughter, but 10 things I hate about
you. I just remember John Ritter.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, yes, John Ritter. And then they wrote him out very poignantly when he actually passed away while they were filming the show.
I think going back to The Last of Us real quick, that's the biggest thing I think is like there's no internet in terms of how we know it now in that world because there was never any social media.
Yes.
So it arguably the world is in a better place in that show than it is here because we live in this weird Black Mirror existence where it's just everybody's looking at their phone. You're not worried about your phone because you're worried about survival in that show. So to your utopian commune point, it is kind of like, oh, it is nice to just, we don't even have phones to worry about. If we need to get a message to somebody not in this town, we will play a song from an era. And if it's 80s, it means I'm having a good day. And if it's 70s, it means I need a can of beans delivered.
Yep. I think the show is brilliant in that, the coding on the 80s. But did we get your, you definitely talked about your favorite moments. I also just want to give the great lines that Bella, she is just the perfect sassy character, just like her just being like, okay, old man, and just like screaming at him, like get to civilization. And she's like basically a feral dog. What are you looking at, girl? It's like, it's the best. I love her.
I felt so bad for those kids, though. That the brothers that we ran into.
Well, I knew them from the game. So like the minute they showed up, I was turned to the person I was watching it with and I was like, yeah, it's going to be great.
I never played the game. So like at the end of that episode, I thought for a sec, maybe we were just like, he was like playing a trick. He's a kid. He's doing what Bill Murray did in the Woody Harrelson zombie movie.
Yeah.
Zombieland. So like it really emotionally grabs you. And the last thing I'll say about The Last of Us is I just want to be Nick Offerman in that world, because as soon as the thing happened, he's like, this is my time. I love being by myself. I know how a generator works.
Yeah.
I can cook. I can fix stuff. He built his compound up and he just lives by himself. He's drinking fancy wine and eating delicious red meat 4 p.m. Who cares when dinner is?
Yeah, they got a flower shop.
Yeah,
they got,
it's a good, good life.
Goats, chickens, and pigs, man. You can make a life. You can make a life.
Matt and I can't wait to come visit you and not trust anybody in your community.
You absolutely can, but it's going to be fabulous. If even it's just me and my little tribe, it'll be just fine. Okay. Because again, the world can run with goats, pigs, and chickens. You can make a lot.
She's breeding pigs and chickens.
Piggins.
These are pickins over here.
Pickins.
The only thing you would actually need.
Dr. Moreau.
The only things you would need. What? Chickens give you eggs. What the hell is that? Pigs are
an abomination.
Shut up. Imagine chicken bacon would be pretty good.
No. Chickens give you eggs. Bacon.
Goats give you milk. Pigs give you manure. And if you want to make your own clothes, you need a sheep. I'm telling you.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to. I'm not going to be good. That's the other thing I do worry about is like, what skill set do I have? Because like, there's not going to be a huge need for storytellers, which is the best way to.
I think there's something. You can be taught a lot of things.
You know who I would want to be in this world is Tom Hanks' character from that movie News of the World, where he just goes town to town doing gigs. It's like he's just reading the newspaper.
I
can be the newspaper reader of our town.
That's definitely true. But just remember, there's a lot of, as we saw at the end of this last episode for The Last of Us, there's a lot of things in between you being able to go give the news of the world.
Yeah. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of how we get the news, who we get the news from. So this is my hope for the show is that it just doesn't, again, Walking Dead was great for AMC and it was, and it's just like has all these offshoots and it's a multi-billion dollar enterprise. Good for them. I would love for The Last of Us to just be smaller and more contained and just like, I want this show to end wanting more, if that makes sense.
Well, the one thing I will tell you is, although I think they have greenlit the next season already?
Yeah, they did it after the second episode.
So they have greenlit the second season. There's, first of all, there's an entire second, there's The Last of Us Part 2, which is like the second part of the game, which has an entire new story. There's also the DLCs, which is like extensions where you find out more about the sort of like side aspects of it. And so I would say for sure we have at least one more, maybe two more seasons of this show left, which will be really interesting.
Yeah. I do like the idea of that, where it's just like there's a finite number of these as opposed to it's open-ended and be like, which it could be technically, but if we're going to wrap up the story, so long as we have a target, I think that makes more sense.
I'm going to do an experiment in a couple weeks with this show, because in my big complex where I live, it's kind of like a commune, Jacqueline. A lot of people are friendly. And I know a lot of people just from various walks of life. We all live in this building now, and they have The Last of Us watch parties. A lot of them are big time gamers. And so they like know the game in and out. So I do kind of want to watch an episode with them just to like look back and forth. Like you know when you watch a Game of Thrones episode with somebody who I read the book and they love to tell you that they read the books, but they're like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And so you just kind of, you get little foreshadowing hints that you wouldn't otherwise pick up.
I think that's a very good plan. And honestly, the last episode of the show, if it holds to the way that the first chapter of the game ends, the part one, it will literally be the perfect time to see it, because that it ends in a way that you're going to be like, oh. Also, I would advise anyone, this is the perfect show to actually go and watch the supplemental materials, because Craig Mazin, the creator of that, also did the show Chernobyl. And he did a podcast companion to the show Chernobyl, which is seriously one of the best companion podcasts I've ever listened to with a television show, because it is better in a lot of ways than a DVD special features, because it's editorialized and it's specific. Instead of just two stars in a room rambling on, which can get good, but it can also get stupid.
It can get boring.
Exactly. This one is really like they know what they want to talk about. And it's Neil, the guy that created The Last of Us, is also the president of the company that distributed it, and Craig together, because they both created the show together.
I need to see that Chernobyl. I hear nothing but just good.
I've already watched
perfection.
It third time.
Yeah.
And even though I know everything about the story.
Really?
The first time going through, there's three, four things that I never heard of. And you're like, oh my freaking God.
Really?
Yeah. The Chernobyl tapes is what it's based off of, which were released significantly after the disaster. And yeah, man. And what's so horrible about that show is it's another one with stuff. The worst parts he didn't even put in it. There's way worse stuff that he didn't put in the story. Like, it's like, it's true. Tragic.
I got it. There's so much content. One of the shows that I got hooked into was on Apple TV was Mosquito Coast.
Oh yeah.
Oh, is that a good one?
Yeah.
I'm in season one. I'm most of the way through. Who's in that one again? Justin Theroux.
That's one of the reasons
I enjoy watching it. Justin Theroux kind of reminds me of our special guest, Matt Nost.
Oh,
he just got this way about him.
Okay.
He's just got, because, and I've told you this before, you also remind me of Jason Bateman in Ozark.
Oh.
Where you're just methodically, you're going to think your way out of a situation. Sure. I've never seen you panic.
If you need drugs, I know a guy too, so.
Back in our heavy drinking days, we would get into a lot of idiocy together, but I never really saw you panic. And that's kind of the one of the character traits
of
Ozark is like, hey, okay, now the cartel is coming after. Now this guy just got shot. Now these people are onto it. Like we're going to figure a way out of this.
Yeah.
And he kind of has the same, that same kind of thing going.
So I'm assuming it's just based on, it's the same source material that they did the Harrison Ford.
I knew that it was a Harrison Ford movie. I had never seen it. So I'm coming to this thing pretty new, but it's a family on the run.
I've seen the Harrison Ford.
Yeah, which is another remake. Because there's, I think, I want to say Bogart was the original Mosquito Coast movie.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. Good nugget
there. Like a long
time
ago. Don't quote me on that. Like, I'm going to fact check it. Brian, fact check me and then tell Mark if I'm wrong.
He's still looking up other people's sexiest man of the year.
Is he?
So he's going to be a little back.
He's going to be fine. But the one thing I want to add is you talk about keeping it cool. Before we get out of here, the best part of this last episode of The Last of Us, again, there was great moments in all of them, was Joel confessing to his brother. Like, give Pedro Pascal all the Emmys. I really want the Emmy.
Oh my good Lord,
I want it to be that scene where he talks and you discuss about how he's becoming more alive, which is making him weaker. When he was dead inside and when he didn't feel anything and when he had no emotions, he was a lethal killing machine. He wouldn't have hesitated on when and where to shoot. Mm-hmm. But as he's starting to unthaw, he's hesitating and it's making him weak. His age is catching up to him. And that, like, mortality that he's facing is really what's rattling him, because his whole reason for being was protecting. First, it was protecting Sarah. That failed. Then it was protecting Tommy. Then it was protecting Tess. And you could just tell he can't fail protecting someone again.
Which is why I am going to stay single. I'm going to stay young. I'm going to stay a lethal killing machine.
I mean,
as soon as you find love, basically the show is like, hey, as soon as you love something, it's near the end for you. Same thing happened to Nick Offerman and the other dude.
It's not near
the end. They had like 20 years together.
No,
they had a good 6-7 years.
It was 16, actually.
Meet you in the middle.
This is what I would say.
Were they happy years? They fought. Can't tell me they didn't fight.
I would put it to you this way very carefully. When the world is ending and nothing matters, isn't the people you care about the only thing that matters?
The dog I care about is the most important.
You're posing a question to him. Yeah.
I mean, again.
Yelling into the void, apparently. I didn't realize your soul was completely just vacuously gone.
It's no, I don't know. I mean, I have the dog.
It's like the dog keeps me human.
Barely. Barely. And your tangible puts on humanity is basically because your dog has to have vets. Okay, That's it.
So it's like a bunch of stingrays that attacked you are not going after Molly. What do you do?
I would die for that dog. But now
we're talking.
Now it's come to the point now, though, where like my friends who like have kids, they're like, you know, telling kid stories. And I'm the guy that shows up like, oh, my dog was at the park last week and she got into a fight with another dog. It's like, you can't.
It's a good story.
No, but
it's a better story.
It is.
It's a much better story. Like the kid is probably going to be uninteresting later in life. Before we get out of here, though.
If you only knew the parents.
I mean, legitimately, like the chances of your kid growing up to be something boring, somebody boring that's going to go yell at fast food workers, high. The chances that that dog is going to be cute, even higher.
That just got so super specific.
Just saying.
There's a rash of 17-year-olds yelling at Wendy's employees. Yeah.
Have you not seen this?
Waffle House.
Have you not seen this? I wanted to say, since we're settling the score before we get out of here, what's your favorite score then?
Oh, favorite? Yeah, favorite TV?
What's a favorite movie score?
My favorite, well, the one that I can listen to nonstop is the Tron Legacy Daft Punk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wow. That's a great one.
I think it's just independent of.
I think that still got nominated for an Oscar, even though the film was horrible.
I think deservedly so.
Yeah.
I think it stands alone in and of itself.
Are we excited for that new Tron?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if they can get it right, it'll be dope.
If they can. That's
an if, but I'm a hopeful person.
I'll be hopeful. It always bugged me that whoever gets into Tron is just some random human and they suddenly become like Michael Vick on a football field. They're just the most amazing player to ever walk. And it's like, you're LeBron James after being here for 30 minutes. My favorite film score of all time.
They also got sucked into a computer, but you're fine with that?
That happens every day.
That's the conceit you're willing to live with, but the fact that he's good at riding a motorcycle is difficult.
It happens to Matt Nost on a nightly basis because you're not allowed to play video games during the
Ghost of Tsushima. It's like I'm in feudal Japan.
Oh my God.
My favorite film score, and I don't care if it's so easy to say, but George Lucas made us believe we were in a galaxy far away. John Williams made being there important.
I'm not going to lie to you, dude. Three of those scores, although ripped directly from classical music, are probably like three of the best cinema keys, like Binary Sunset, Empire Strikes Back, and then also The Throne.
Right? Yeah.
Those are two like...
Binary Sunset kills me.
Like those three score moments are like literally like what you consider when you say like cinema overscoring. This is like everything's hitting.
Duel of the Fates when that choir comes in.
Yeah.
Another
moment like that, yeah.
Very close though is, and I will give a shout out to Danny Elfman's Batman 1989 theme.
Yeah.
It's so good, man. And I loved hearing it in that Flash trailer. Like it's and seeing Michael Keaton again, so... A lot of great film scores out there.
I'm going to do a deep cut and do Moonlight, which that song has had so many different, the middle of the world song, you know, mm-hmm. doon, Nicholas Britell. That was AP going crazy. That was what he used to underscore that. It's been in like Nike commercials. Like that song really like, it has more vibes than it was. I love when musical scores can be retranslated like mm-hmm. that. Like it's literally can be anything. That's it for us. Taking a little dark to Moonlight.
That was good.
Yeah. After Dark. Matt, thank you so much, sir. Again,
thank you for having me.
Check out Settle the Score on YouTube, correct?
Yeah, you can find it anywhere on YouTube, but it's youtube.com/MattNost. So you can find it there or search for anywhere you get podcasts. Just Settle the Score. You'll find us.
I've missed a few Star Wars questions on there. Sorry, John Williams, but I've never missed a Top Gun question.
Oh, Matt, how many of those have you had?
He likes to customize to whoever's competing and in a fair way. And I've gotten a Top Gun or two and I have not missed.
I'm glad you will not turn in your Top Gun reign supreme.
That's my opening line on a date. Is it too much info?
You wonder why.
Yeah, you're
I take out my phone and I show them some of the score.
I think you're doing good on that staying single. I think you're going to be fine with it. That's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you all next week. I have no idea what we're talking about, but we will be back here.
It'll be good.
Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. See y'all next time.